So they're having a good time, I'm sure. Praise the Lord. And we're having a good time here. Hallelujah. Well, it's Memorial Day weekend. How are things in America? There's some concerns, frankly. Let me tell you about the stock market report. Wall Street's been rocked by bad news and some good news. Helium was up. Imagine that. Paper was stationary. Diapers remained unchanged. Shipping lines stayed at an even keel. But the raisins dried up. Coca-Cola's fizzled. The Caterpillar stock has inched up a bit. And balloon prices were inflated. Batteries exploded trying to recharge the market. Knives were up sharply. Pencils lost some points. The elevators rose. The escalators continued their slow decline. Hiking equipment was trailing the leaders. Mining equipment hit rock bottom. Rockets soared, but went into a free fall. Electric blenders were shaky. And this is news. Fairfield Electronics has merged with Honeywell Computers. The new corporation is called Farewell, Honey Child. Forgot my phone this morning. I actually need it a little bit for the message today, but I was about to step out the door and I was praying, Lord, you are a great God. I was over at the house, just ready to turn the doorknob. Then I continued, Lord, would you bring Kathy and James back to church today? And then I opened the door and looked around the corner, and there they were getting out of their car. I said, thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Hey, every single one of you, we're glad you're here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers, many answered prayers. We have a whole history in America, a legacy of answered prayers. And frankly, a lot of us don't understand in the early beginnings of America, it's kind of like your protection of Israel. There were so many awesome prayers answered for the colonial people, the pioneers of America, and protecting cities and communities from the dangers of the invaders. And yet, also like today, many died. And so, Lord, we thank you for in the evidence of spilled blood, they didn't die without a cause. They died for freedom. As you well understand, as you sent your Son to this world, not to die without a cause, the creator of the universe, to come to this little planet, but to give us freedom. And Lord, we're grateful to you forever. We're grateful to you today. And we're glad for Memorial Day weekend, times to remember. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lyle says, boy, howdy. He's talking about his childhood. And his family go see Grandpa and Grandma, and Grandma would say, hey, get out your musical instruments. And they kind of had a jamming session, you know. They'd do that just about every time. And we remember, too, times when we were small and young and with our families. Just like to play with you something, pray for you something here. You won't hear it all. I don't think it'll all come across that well. But you'll hear enough that your own mind can go back into the past. And you'll remember some things, too, like Lyle likes to remember about your childhood and about my childhood and the memories that we had.
Smoke rising from that old brick kitchen hearth would cause my steps to hurry to the beat. The katydids and crickets and the bullfrogs on the pond would keep the rhythm like a country band. And I couldn't keep from singing as I bounded through the door, and Mom would grin and say, "Now aren't you grand?" The last few notes of Angel Band would finish as I stopped to peek at what was simmering on the stove. Then, soon and very soon, would play as I began my chores. I'd milk the cows by "Lord, I'm Coming Home." Daddy played guitar on winter evenings by the fire, and Mom would call us kids around to sing the sweet, sweet songs of Zion in four-part harmony. My, how we made that big old farmhouse ring. It seems, as I remember, we just sang our lives away. We learned the Word of God to gospel tunes. We took in strangers, fed the poor, and loved our neighborhood, and looked for Jesus morning, night, and noon. Now, looking back, I see that my home was like a giant loom on which our work and play and rest were strung. And the shuttle of love that we shared was tossed between the hours. The silver threads, the songs we all had sung. The memories, the experiences, the laughter and the pain are blended tightly in the lovely weave, and holding us securely is the song of Jesus's love, and this will be the tapestry I leave.
I wish I could read the videos of your minds as that was playing. Remembering a lot of people going on before us in the glory. This song, Precious Memories, was, there was the long, bitter Civil War. And then George Washington Wright. George Washington, named after the great general. He married his lovely fiancée, Cassandra, and began their family of 12 children. The fifth child was little Johnny Wright. I moved to Texas, and Johnny grew up singing a little local church. Then he married Fanny Jackson down there in Texas, and they went from one little homestead to another. 1909, his precious mother died. 5 years later, his father. His mother was known as being a really well-known singer. So Johnny's earliest memories were singing with his parents. They didn't always have enough food, but it seemed like the sound of music just made it so the poverty didn't seem so bad. But in his sorrow, Johnny began to write songs about what he remembered from his childhood, about God and family, hard times. In fact, he wrote over 500 songs. Then a little baby boy was born to them named Everett. And at the age of 5, he died of diphtheria. And he was the apple of his eye. After many prayers and a million tears, Everett went to be with Jesus. So in his sorrow, Johnny turned his thoughts back to his childhood, to his son Everett, his own coming death, long years lost in his memories. On a cool autumn night, everything was dying, the leaves were falling off the trees. Didn't seem to be much of a future. But the bleakness and the hunger of a long, cold winter. Johnny took his guitar and journeyed back into his memories and began to sing and write Precious Memories. Brought love and tears to many eyes. Mr. Stamps, with the recording copyrights, promised Johnny royalty, but legal hassles. Never got it in his name. Finally, when he was aging, serving as janitor, he always paused when he heard that song on the radio. Tears in his eyes, joy and sorrow. But it's a song that explains why the memory, like Memorial Day, is blessed. Unseen angels linger, unfolding past, ministering spirits sent to minister unto us. Remember the history of our Lord, God's working his marvelous works in our lives. Precious Mother, loving Father, fly across the lonely years and old home scenes of my childhood fond memory appears. You know, we remember our childhood. Maybe you remember, like I do, like singing with a church, some of those old choruses a long time ago. A lot of times when I hear a song, sing a song, I'm back there in the pews of New Hartford, Iowa, with my childhood and my old friends. And as we sing too, we desire for a future land, sing with the redeemed of all ages there in glory. So memories flood our soul. As I travel life's pathway, know not where the years may, what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious memories flood my soul. So we journey through those precious memories, sacred truths unfold. Well, this Johnny, he said, I've always had a sentimental nature, and the older I got more nostalgic. I think I identify with that. And increasing number of precious memories. It doesn't take much to reminisce and bring a tear nowadays, he said. But a lot of people have found comfort just thinking about those precious memories. Johnny had a lot of hardships, but he loved the Lord. I think about the Apostle Paul near the end of his life. Many hardships, kicked through the streets like a soccer ball, from one stoning and one prison and one beating to another, left for dead, ridiculed. He had a hard life, but we just might wonder at some point, like how many beatings can a person take and still go on? One was talking about running the beach with a man about 80 years old, but he'd been Captain James Stark, a survivor from the Vietnam War, Hanoi Hilton. As he ran the beach with this pilot of the Vietnam War, over 6 feet tall, said he's still chiseled, even in his 80s. He's always running behind him because he couldn't keep up. They could see his back in the most gruesome scars he'd ever seen. He said he's a quiet man. So he said, Captain Stark, how did you get that scar? He said, you don't want to know that. He said, yes, I do, sir. Well, he said, well, they hung me on a meat hook in the Hanoi Hilton. He said his left arm was never completely useful because ejecting from the jet, it broke his arm. And he set his arm in the prison bars of the prison. Admiral Stockdale of Vietnam War could not bend his leg. They say he's the highest ranking officer of Vietnam War. He'd been in Hanoi Hilton too, and they just beat the daylights out of him. But you just might want to think about that, you know, like maybe 3 o'clock or so sometime every day. They're showing up. Here they come. And so you try to prepare yourself through the fear and for the pain. We might ask ourselves, like, how many beatings can you take while you're fighting for the freedom of a nation? Turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 20. And we pick up here from verse 24. And here's one we call Doubting Thomas, but we're thankful for Thomas's words. John 20, 24, Thomas, one of the 12. In this passage, we understand if we have the same God as the disciples, we're in great shape. Who is he? The God of the disciples is my Lord and my God. He's just not only Lord and God, Like, we met people that have that intellectual understanding. That's who he is. But as Thomas said, you're my Lord. That's personal. And you're my God, because he's trusting in him. And then the next verse, verse 29, Jesus really saying, and that's exactly right, Thomas. And for all those believers in the future, like you and me, who've never seen Jesus with our physical eyes, if we believe the same as Thomas, that he's not only Lord and God, but he's also my Lord, he is my God. And we're equally blessed as Thomas is. So it picks up here, verse 24, and Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except what? Thomas. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. He knew what happened to Jesus' side, the spear into his side. He's saying, man, think about this. Put my hand right up into Jesus' side where that spear was. So unless that happens, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, hallelujah, out of the grave. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, went right through the doors, glorified body. He said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. We wonder, how much can a person take? There's no more painful death than the death of the cross. And it made it especially painful for Jesus. Even more painful yet was he separated from his heavenly Father, fellowship forever, until that day on Calvary, because he's bearing our sin. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they have not seen and yet have believed. Now here we are, Memorial Day tomorrow, Memorial Day weekend. That's a day of national mourning. All flags should be at half staff. We got a flag to lower tomorrow. But then at noon, raise it back up to full staff. And here, it's a memorial, Memorial Day. Memorials are meant to help us not forget. Washington, D.C., there's a memorial to the Vietnam War. I'm very thankful to God that God brought our soldier, Bob Martin, back home safely, aren't you? Hallelujah. I mean, what a life of an honorable man. And yet a lot of good men left their blood on the battlefield and never returned. I was going to go to the Army. My brother said, what do you want to do that for? Why don't you go to the Air Force? I tried to get an Air Force Reserves. They didn't need me. Got a Navy Reserves. It's 2 years active duty. He said, 3 square meals a day, a dry cot every night. That's where you want to be. And so I'm glad. Had I been in the Army, it's like a man we were talking to, Leon and Dan and I. He's talking about a lot of the war veterans, Vietnam. Those that made it back, a lot of them are never right. A lot of them are never right. I mean, it's not to their fault. It's just like they have suffered something from Agent Orange or something like that. Life is never the same again. But in Washington, D.C., there is a black wall memorial with names chiseled there, inscribed on the wall, that we do not forget. So we can visit a place like this and perhaps bring home a souvenir. And a souvenir is just our way of saying, I have been there. When I was a young man, I wanted to put stickers on the back of our pickup. All the places, all the great places went, Royal Gorge, you know, Mount Rushmore. Okay. I says, no. I'm glad she's that smart. Like, we didn't need stickers all over our pickup, but I thought it'd be great then. But, you know, I wanted a souvenir to say we've been there. Well, forever our Lord has the souvenir to say, I've been there. Made a journey to planet Earth. Battled the greatest battle in all of history and died our champion on Calvary's Mountain. defeating the devil, death and hell, and then he rose again from the dead. If you arrive in heaven without an arm or a leg or an eye, you'll be perfect in heaven as God restores your body. But the souvenir of earth to our Lord and Savior is what Thomas beheld here, a print of the nails in his hands. And forever we can look at the Lord and his side and perhaps reach our own hand into his side. A souvenir from the battlefields of earth. Give us freedom from hell. The scars in his glorified body. Hey, the only man-made thing in heaven, bore by Jesus, risen again from the dead. A truth so great as to bring Thomas and you and me to our knees in praise and thanks to God. Several years ago, a newspaper journalist said, "The test of a nation is the intellectual and spiritual growth of its people. Money will not save us. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, Spain, and France all had their turn as the world's richest nation. But their so-called prosperity eventually ruined them. Our nation is now has experienced great riches, but it too could decline." And he added, "Only a sane spiritual revival, which changes the desires of our people, will save us." Revival, coming from the Latin again and vivo, to live, or live again. And so revival, that's to regain our spiritual consciousness and a new love for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray for revival and draw nearer to God. Hosea 10:12, Hosea said, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Break up your fallow ground. That's an unproductive ground. Sometimes we have to look at our lives and take inventory and say, that's unproductive. What I got in a pattern of my day, that's unproductive. I'm no better today than I was yesterday when I pursued that. It's no better. What is unproductive? What is productive? What matters? Jonas Clark was an influential pastor at Lexington, and most of the people at Lexington attended his church. One night he's having dinner with a couple important names, John Hancock, Samuel Adams. So they asked this great pastor that night. Same night, what's happening? Same night, Paul Revere made his famous ride. Two great past patriots were asking Clark a question. If war came, would the men of Lexington fight? Well, he could say, well, you know, we've never really talked about it, and I really don't know. But would the men of Lexington fight? And Jonas Clark replied, "I have trained them for that very hour." Next day, the shot was heard. It was heard from around the world. Fired from his church parking lot, within feet of the parsonage. And the dead were his church members. Some of them. So he looked at the bodies, made this statement. "From this day will be dated the liberty of the world." You think about the spawning of America and worldwide missions so much, you know, through this great nation, the great churches that we've had across this land, great heritage that we've had and we've entered into. So it began with this church and began with a person not afraid to speak out for liberty and freedom against oppression and tyranny, and they became a part of the Black Robe Regiment, which was known for that because pastors preached, you know, these resounding sermons throughout New England against the evils of tyranny and the importance of liberty and set the stage for the liberty of America. Got a lot of people today afraid to speak. It's not politically correct. They don't speak. They couldn't be a part of the Black Robe Regiment. Martin Luther said, though we be active in the battle, fear not fighting where the battle is the hottest, or traitors to the cause. Judge Robert Bork wrote the book Slouching Towards Gomorrah. My, what a title. Incredible way of saying what's happening, what's going to happen. You're just slouching around. Cowards and losers, or you stand for God. Does God matter in your life? Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher, said, never one time in Scripture did Christ tell us to seek the kingdom of God. He said, are you seeking the kingdom of God? Stop. Because he said, this is what we read, seek ye first. Where are you? First. Get this in our thinking. Why wouldn't we? We're bought with a price. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these things shall be added unto you. So above all else, you know, what is my job? What is my future? What are my finances? What's first? William Butler Yeats wrote the poem. He said, the best, talking about people, best citizens, the best lack all conviction. That might be true. In cases, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. That's often true, isn't it? Passionate intensity. Who's got that? Sometimes people with the worst cause, determined to bring their view, ugly view, before the world. And so here's what Christ wants you and me to be, is a soldier for him, and pray that we'll be filled with intensity. We're not satisfied to sit in the bleachers. We aren't spectators. We're going to get out there in the field. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Seek ye first. And seeking first the kingdom of God, Leon and Jackie were standing at the door this last week and led a young man and a sister to the Lord. Seek first. Founding fathers had a reverence for God. I'm at the end of my time. I wonder where that goes. I think, you know, time kind of goes through the week, but when it hits 11:30 on a Sunday morning, and then it gets jet propelled and goes so fast. But all, you know, revival, 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 live again. And we think back, I could read you lots of things from the Mayflower Compact and Constitution of the New England Confederation, and William Penn, Liberty Bell, Samuel Adams, Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin, that's what I was going to do. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, Abraham Lincoln. Let me say this. All that they had to say about trusting God, you've got to trust God as a nation if you're going to be blessed, or you're going to go backwards. One day you're going to suffer. And Solomon wrote, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Backed up by a statement by a Supreme Court Justice, Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, our national anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, even the national motto, United States of America. You know, if you go to Hawaii, we used to live there, and look over this state of Hawaii, you just can't miss the Arizona Memorial and the names on the wall, and to look down at that ship and to know that hundreds of lives are buried there. That's their tomb. Because of 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning where everybody's really relaxed, the Japanese fighters came through a break in the mountains there and attacked our ships. And the Arizona went down. And what God says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 10 through 12, and shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. This is after the wilderness. Now, relaxed. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So God says, when times are comfortable for you, then be careful, because that's when you might forget the Lord. Out in the wilderness, they couldn't forget. They couldn't afford to forget the Lord, because they need water and protection. But here, now in good times, you know, kind of buffeted. We got so many good things. We're kind of, here in America too, we're kind of buffeted from the sense of need. It's easy to forget the Lord. We hear about terrorism a lot of places. We're kind of conditioned to that because you watch evening news. It's all about death, death, death. I mean, it's amazing. Or the movies, it's about one murder after another. It kind of get conditioned like, wow. Until it's kind of like, well. And then it becomes more like, well, as long as it's not on my street. Hey, if you don't like the movie, one day it may show up in the street where we live. And so it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we just wander into gross sin, but it just means, you know, we gradually, we're not hot for Jesus. We're not putting Jesus first. And so our enemy, or the enemy of our souls, he's been waiting for a time like this to hit us hard. We're a country very relaxed, frankly. And we want revival. We want to remember. And if anybody's going to remember, I think, you know, crowd like this, you're the ones. One day, there'll be a memorial in heaven. We'll never forget. Each time we look at the hands, the feet, the side of Jesus. So glorious, amazing, awesome. The creator of the universe stepped on a front porch of glory, looked at nothing, spoke it into existence. That's who he is. And we will look at his scars and we'll say, praise to you, Lord Jesus. I will remember forever. I'll praise you forever because you made it possible for me to be here. And friend, that's it today. Jesus made it possible for you to have an eternal home in heaven. And he doesn't force you to go there. If you want heaven, then you have to want Jesus. That's a condition of the Father. If you want heaven, you got to take my son. He said, I know about your son. That's not good enough. God says, if you want heaven, you've got to take my son. What's the loss there? Why would you incur the wrath of God because you go, I really don't want to take it? Well, then you don't. You won't get heaven neither. Now, it's a win-win every way you look at it. You get Jesus for life and heaven forever. We take Jesus, God takes us. Lord, we thank you this morning for Memorial Day weekend. We've got a lot to remember, a lot to praise you for. Even thinking about our own dear family sitting in the living room, singing the songs, or just being close to mom and dad. The scent of the dress that mama's wearing, or the hands of the father who perhaps worked in the fields. The voices of the call to supper. One day it's like it's supper time. Come on home to heaven. Come on home for the banquet of the king. We want each one be there. Lord, break our hearts if we look around this morning and say, wow, what if we know somebody who'd never be there? Pray you prepare each heart, each one of us be there. We ask in Jesus' name.
Open your hymnals to 332, please. 332, without him. Without him, I can do nothing.
Together. 332. Whether the great crusades or a little church on the hill in Kansas City, God calls more people probably. Maybe he likes to have a today to say, without him. I don't want to be without him. Show me the way.
Without him. Father, thank you so much for this Lord's Day, for making it possible for us to be here today. We look back, Lord, at all the hurts and those family loved ones we've lost, those in the military who have given their lives for this country. Lord, we look at you. We look at what you have done on the cross that I might be saved, that we would have an eternal home, not made with hands. A home that can't be destroyed by gunfire. Lord, we pray that you bless us this day. Walk with us as we strive to serve you. And we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.
I love that song. How's Joyce doing today?